Thanks for checking out sermons from Pleasant Valley Community Church. We hope these messages encourage, convict, and inspire you to love and follow Jesus more faithfully as we seek to saturate our city with the hope of the gospel. Our online resources are meant to serve you, but they aren't a replacement for the face-to-face relationships that we were built for. So we really hope that if you're in Owensboro, you'll join us in person on a Sunday morning. And if you live elsewhere, you'll find a local church in your community where you can put down roots and find family. For more resources and to give financially to support the missions and ministries of Pleasant Valley, find us on social media or visit our website at www.pleasantvalley.cc.
Good morning. It's an honor being here. I'm Brad Rhodes. I am the marriage pastor here at Pleasant Valley, and love serving in that role. I want to start with a brief announcement. Our church is doing something I don't recall us ever doing. January 9th, it's a Thursday night, we're having Bluegrass and Comedy, a nationally recognized, the guy speaks everywhere. He is amazing. He's a pastor. He loves Jesus. He's hilarious. And great bluegrass music. Bluegrass and Comedy. We were trying to get him to come to Owensboro. I called him and kind of asked him about it. He goes, now, when I do an A market like L.A. or a B market like Orlando, I said, well, what are you doing like an F market like Owensboro? like Owensboro, you don't even probably ever heard of it. But he is coming here. He is a friend and amazing. So I want to encourage you to get signed up for that. It's $40 a couple or $20 a person. But I will guarantee you will be glad you came. So, well, today we're doing it's Marriage Sunday. And I know a lot of you see Marriage Sunday and you're like, oh, you're either single, you're divorced, you're in a tough marriage, and you just think, it's the last thing I want to hear about is marriage. Well, this sermon is for all of you. The sermon is equally for singles as it is for marrieds. And if you are formerly married and divorced, God's grace covers all of that, and God calls you to thrive where you're planted and submit to Him now and just live for Him. So I'm going to start off by just telling you a story. From birth, we want to do what we want to do. Nobody likes being told what to do. When somebody tells you to do something, it kind of instinctively makes you want to say no. And when we're caught in something or we do something we shouldn't do and somebody addresses us, what do? We give reasons. We blame other people. That's only been the case since the Garden of Eden. So my daughter, Kate, you'll see a picture of her right here. She was about 20 months old. And there's a reason I do marriage and not parenting ministry. And so she's about 20 months old. She does something wrong. I talked to her about it. And I said, now, Kate, say you're sorry. Kate stared me in the eyes and said, no. And I said, Kate, I said, say you're sorry. No. Well, 3.5 hours later, I'm still in a small bedroom trying to get Kate to say you're sorry because people have told me you don't need to lose battles with your kids. So from 8 to 11:30 p.m., she would say, night, night, please. And I'd say, well, then say sorry. No. Well, she sweated so much crying that I had Marilyn bring in fluids because I thought she was going to pass out. I'm thinking, am I being a good parent or do we need to call social services? But finally, she said she was sorry. And I came to the bedroom and Marilyn, look, you did great. You won the battle. And I said, it took me 3.5 hours to get a 20-month-old to say one word. It doesn't feel like a victory. Well, so not only do we not want to do what other people tell us, we like to blame. The next picture is my daughter, Abby. You see that little mischievous look. So Abby, growing up, was pretty good at the blame game. So I'm trying to teach her math. We homeschooled our kids for one semester and felt a clear call from God not to homeschool. And there's a reason. We're not good at it. I don't know if it's whatever, but so I'm trying to teach Abby math, and it's not going well. And she goes, Dad, you know what my problem is? And I said, what's that? She goes, I have a very bad teacher. And it's hard, you know? So she naturally blamed. And you know, in scripture, it calls us to take responsibility and submit our lives to God. So if you could please stand for the reading of God's word and the passage that I'll be preaching on today. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also the wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave his life for her to make her holy, cleansing by the washing with water through the word. You may be seated. Marriage in culture is seen as this thing that makes, it's going to make you both happier. You're going to do life together with your best friend. It seems like it's going to be easy because dating's easy and you get married and guess what? Doesn't work. We were so happy in dating. Within a year, my wife's praying, Lord, am I sentenced to a life to this? Why? We did not understand or carry out this passage. Scripture calls both a husband and wife to a radical call to put Jesus' submission and sacrifice on display for the world. Marriage is so much bigger than marriage. It's not about you. It's not about you being happy. It's not about you feeling more special. It's not about you having an easier life. It's an opportunity to you to grow closer to Jesus and for your relationship, husband, wife, Christ, the church, to point people to the relationship between Christ and the church. And if you're single, submission is like the foundation of the gospel. You submit your life. You surrender your desires and say, Lord, I'll lay it all down. I repent and want to follow you, and I'm pursuing your ways over my ways. So we'll start with wives in the first half, and don't worry, wives, we're going to talk to the husbands the second half. Wives, submit to your own husbands as you do the Lord, for the husband's the head of the wife, as the Christ is the head of the church. This is a very controversial passage. I've listened to a lot of sermons on it, and most sermons speak more about what it's not than what it is. Why? Because people are scared of it. And there's a reason that this passage is so controversial and objectionable. And the first reason is this passage has been abused to harm women. Controlling husbands have used this passage to emotionally and sometimes physically abuse women. And we're going to go through why that is such a horrific use and misuse of this passage. But what do we do when something's misused? We tend to throw it out. What do folks that's grown up in a background that's seen the spiritual gifts misused? They want to throw them out. When you see submission misused, what do you want to do? You want to throw it out. But we can't do it. It's in Scripture. Second, we're in a culture that idolizes self and the pursuit of your own happiness in anything that you perceive will make you happy. If you perceive that changing genders will make you more happy, the culture says change genders. If you perceive that a certain sexual lifestyle will make you happy, culture says pursue that. Whether it's abortion, sexual choice, gender, anything, the world is offended when anything restricts the individual's pursuit of their own happiness. Submission is offensive because the gospel is offensive. But before we talk about submission, let's talk about what it's not, because it's very important. Being a submissive wife does not mean being a passive wife or a weak wife or agreeing with everything your husband wants or believes. Submission does not strip the woman of dignity, influence, or value. Second, submission is not withholding convictions or opinions. It's not some unquestioned obedience to the husband. Two are better than one, and when you get married, Scripture says you become one. In our marriage, I'll tell you, Marilyn is a much better parent than I am. I mean, she told me one time, if anything ever happens to me, please remarry quickly. She's so worried about our kids.
She doesn't just say, Brad's kind of a laid-back, fun parent that's not real detailed. I'll just roll with that. No, our family's much better because she speaks into me consistently and says, Brad's, you have to parent. She gives me input. She helps me grow. Another thing is submission is not. Submission is not just allowing your husband to sin and just accepting it. In a good marriage, you and your husband will be each other's best friend. And in Proverbs 27:6, it says, wounds from a friend can be trusted. So there are times that you have to wound one another. And if Scripture says no discipline feels good at the time, I don't like it when Marilyn calls me out, and I don't usually respond real well initially, but I'm a better human for it, a better Christian for it, and then later I come back and apologize for not responding well initially. If a husband has an addiction, is verbally or physically abusive, lies on his taxes, it's not the wise rule to say, well, hey, he's just a leader and, hey, I just, unfortunately, I chose me a bad one. No. She's to set boundaries. She's to help her husband. Many wives have literally saved the lives of their husbands because they were strong, bold, courageous women that love their husbands and refuse just to sit under that. In Genesis, Scripture says the wife is to be the husband's helper. Another unpopular word, but if you understand the word helper, the word easer, it means help provided by someone strong or help from a point of strength. If I'm struggling to get a weight up and somebody helps me lift it up, does it mean I'm strong and the person helping me is weak? No. It means I need help and have a helper. Helpers don't just let their husbands run off a cliff in the name of submission. They pray, they pursue, they seek third-party help. They do everything. They don't just resign themselves to the husband's destruction. Also, submission doesn't mean the husband is wiser or better equipped than the woman. In virtually every marriage, or every marriage, not virtually, there are areas the wife is better equipped than the husband. In our marriage, it shouldn't be this way, but Marilyn is way more handy than me. I mean, way more handy than me. See, she can do everything, I can do nothing. Together, we can do everything. She got a drill for Christmas. I didn't get a drill for Christmas. They did a tool shower for us when we were engaged. I'm like, why are you giving me tools? And literally, when people come over for dinner, I just show them all this stuff. And do you want any of this? I gave it all away because I didn't know how to use any of it. I don't need a socket set because I can't use one. But Marilyn, we are a better family because of her. So now we've talked about what it's not. Let's talk about what is submission. It comes from the word hupotasso, which literally means, a military term, means to arrange under. It can mean a voluntary attitude of giving in or cooperating. When both spouses are trying hard to consider the interest of others above their own and they cannot get to a point of resolution, that is where submission comes in. It is seeking to empower your husband to help him grow into what God calls him to be. Dr. Julie Slattery describes it like this. She says it's the willful posture of using your power to support your husband's leadership. Instead of dominating or undercutting your husband, you choose to invest in him. In sum, the wife makes the husband a better man. You have no idea the improvement in Brad Rhodes because I'm married to Marilyn. You would not meet a more shallow, pleasure-seeking individual before God used Marilyn in my life. It may be that when I hit heaven, it may be God said, Brad, I sent Marilyn to you to get you here. Look at Proverbs 31. The wife of noble character, her wife trusts in her, has no lack of gain. She does her husband good and not harm all the days of her life. Her husband is more respected because of her. Nobody knows the bad of Brad like Marilyn. Nobody respects me more, builds me up, and makes other people think highly of me than Marilyn. It scripture says her husband praises her and calls her blessed. The opposite of submission is undercutting authority, being dominating, or insisting on getting your own way. A wife of noble character, her husband's more respected because he's married to her. Her husband's a better man because he's married to her. But submission, it gets a real bad rap in marriage. Everybody's like, you know, you're going to preach on submission. Oh my goodness. Everybody's going to get all upset. Submission is the call of scripture to all believers. Listen to Ephesians 5:21. This is to singles, marrieds, divorced, everybody. Submit to one another out of reverence to Christ. Submission to authority is a bedrock of the Christian faith. We submit to God. I like pursuing my own pleasures. I like doing this. I like doing this. I lay it all down, surrender my life, and submit to your ways and live for you. That's Christianity. In Christianity, it says we call to submit to our governing authorities, to our bosses, to our spouse, and to others. I was listening to a speaker. I don't know if y'all have ever heard of Jackie Hill Perry, but she's amazing. And I heard her speak, and somebody asked her, she left a homosexual lifestyle, turned her life over, and has been pursuing Christ ever since. And they said, how'd you do it? She said, well, it's not about my lifestyle. It's about I laid down my desires for something immensely more beautiful, Jesus Christ. She goes, give me a break. Jesus Christ or this? Jesus Christ it is. And Jesus set the ultimate example of submission. Look in Matthew 26:39. Jesus said, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Jesus said, if it's possible, could I not go to the cross? If it's possible, could I not take on the sin of the world? If possible, is there any other way? But not as I desire, but as you will. And then he willingly went to the cross out of love for us, died for us, sacrificed for us, and gave us eternal life in him. The ultimate example of submission is Jesus himself. And what he is asked to submit is way more offensive than anything we'll ever be asked to submit to as believers. Submission is submitting your life to the authority of God. Listen to the passage in Matthew 5. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. We are in a world of personal rights. I've got a right. The gospel is a gospel of laying down your rights and laying down your life for Jesus Christ and for other people. The gospel is a call to submission. Now, as it relates to wives, there's two ditches that wives tend to fall in on submission. One is passivity. This is where the wife says, well, he's the leader. Then the wife is just passive and doesn't share and just goes along with whatever. She loses her voice. She loses her influence. And oftentimes years later says, I found myself, and she leaves the marriage. The other ditch is controlling. This is where the wife insists on her way. She feels she's right. When there's conflict, she fights for her own way. And if she doesn't get her own way, the marriage suffers. Again, according to Dr. Slattery, both passivity and being controlling are motivated out of insecurity and fear. If you're passive, I'm really scared and insecure to address my husband. I don't know how he'll respond. I don't know if it'll be a consequence. It's just easier just to stay silent in quiet misery. The controlling spouse, I'm insecure. I'm really scared to submit to the authority of my husband. So I ask, in the middle, the godly wife of noble character is humble. She's bold. She's gentle. She's strong. And just ask yourself, where on the continuum do you fall? Do you err on the side of controlling or passivity? And what we do when submission to authority, to our husbands, to government, what do we do when it conflicts with God's truth? 10 out of 10 times you submit to God's truth over man. Whether it's authority, whether it's your husband, you never sin in the name of submission. You choose God. So if a husband ever called you to submit in a way that violated your conscience or truth, you refuse. Now, before I move on to the second part of the passage, it's important to address husbands on submission. I love what Jameis said. I had Jameis come up to teach a class with me at Southern Seminary for Dr. York. And Jameis told the class, if you ever use a submission verse with your wife, it probably means you're a horrible husband. In Scripture, it was never intended to be weaponized for your own interest. Like, oh, my wife should submit, so I get to make decisions. I get to do what I want. No, that's anti-gospel. Submission is not this trump card you hold to get your own way. Submission is not the husband's right. It's the wife's call. And it's going too far to appoint yourself as a decision maker in all things family. Like everything runs through me and I make the ultimate decision on every single thing. It's not biblical and it's bad leadership. If I insist that every decision we make as a family will be dictated by what I think's best, we're going to have all kinds of issues. In Scripture, it says all man's ways are right to him. One time somebody said, we always think you're right. Well, of course I do. It wouldn't be my opinion. But my call is to lay down my preferences for others. I'll give you an example. When we had our first kid, and Marilyn had got her master's in social work. She was counseling at Counseling Associates with Children, and she was debating whether to work part-time or full-time, part-time or whether to stay home full-time. It was my preference that she stay home full-time. But what if I'd told her, I've taken for God, you're not working. You're going to submit and you're going to raise our kids. How's that going to go? What if she does it? How's that going to go? She's not going to like me, is she? But I felt led that, Lord, lead her however you lead her and support her however she feels supported. She decided to stay home. It was her choice. But if she had felt micromanaged and restricted, we'd have an unhappy family and an unhappy home because a husband is to empower his wife, not micromanage his wife. Now, submission does come into play when you have two people and you're trying really hard to honor one another and you can't come to a conclusion and you don't feel a piece of God about something and you feel that it would be bad for the family if you did it. As we started having more kids, we ran out of space in the small home we were in. We needed a bigger home. And Marilyn was driving down McCreary and found the perfect house. I mean, it was perfect. It looked exactly like she wanted to look. It was the size she wanted. It was the neighborhood she wanted. It was in the Dave Ramsey thing. And she couldn't wait. I mean, she was decorating in her house every day. I ran it by the five people I respect more than anybody financially. And all five of them said, no, time's not right. You're taking on more debt than you should. And I tried to get there, but I could not get a piece of that. I told Marilyn, I said, we just can't. And they're like, yes, we can. Trust me, it fits. I said, we can't. We didn't buy that house. Marilyn did submit. Now, was it easy? No. Did she get mad at me? Yes. Did she tell me even the way I drink coffee gets on her every nerve? Yes. Did looking at me make her mad? Yes. Within a week, were we in a good spot? Yes. Are we in a better home than that now? Yes. Was it wise to listen to the five people? Yes. But that is how it works. I want to touch a little bit on submission and roles. It's inappropriate to take the submission passage and then say, well, this is what wives do. This is what husbands do. Some, when they hear submission and headship, man, they check out, they look down, they won't even look at the pastor. They hate those terms. Others want to take submission and headship and say, this is exactly what a wife should do. This is exactly what a husband could do. Tim Keller stated that some don't like submission. Others don't like the fact that Scripture doesn't lay out specifics as to what women and men should do in and outside the home. Rejecting submission dishonors the Lord. Presuming specific roles creates a controlling, restrictive atmosphere that limits a wife's gospel impact. Look at Proverbs 31. What's the Proverbs 31 wife of noble character do? She works with her hands. She provides food for her household. She invests in real estate. She plants a vineyard. She makes a profit off her merchandise. So it's obvious that the gospel leaves plenty of flexibility as to what husbands and wives specifically do. In some home, the wife's much more gifted in finances than the husband. In other homes, the husband's is more gifted, and you figure it out as you go. When we got married, Marilyn had more time than me, so I said, you do our books. Bad decision. I asked her, I said, what do we have in our account? We're fine. I said, no, that's not the answer. What do we have in our account? We're fine. I'm like, well, see if Brad, we had that overdraft protection thing. So I thought, well, this might be something I should take. But the why behind submission is so important because you're not married for you. You're married to make you more like Jesus and to bring him glory by how you love another individual to put the gospel on display for the world. It's not for you to draw from another human being to somehow make you happier. It is to lay your life down for another human being to make you more like Jesus and to help him be more like Jesus. So Scripture tells husbands, lay your life down for your wife as Christ to the church. And this transitions to the second part of that passage. So it says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. Let's think about it. So we're to love our wives as Christ loved the church. Well, let's think about it. How did Christ love the church? Sacrificially. He literally died for her. He took on the sin of the world for her. That's how he sacrificed for her. And husbands, how we love our wives? Like that. So I ask yourself the question, what do you lay down for your wife to sacrifice for her benefit? And he loved us despite our sin. Jeff had to say, well, you don't understand my wife. You're married to Marilyn. You're not even qualified to talk to me because you're married to Marilyn. Do you think God looked down at you and said, wow, that's an impressive dude. I think I'm going to draft him to be on my team and save him. No. He saw an enemy of God rebelling against him, pursuing his own pleasures, and said, I choose to love you, and I'm going to give you a love that nothing can separate you from. That's how you were loved. So, yes, your wife's flawed. Yes, you're flawed. But you love the flawed like Christ loved the flawed. And Christ, when he came, did he come to serve or be served? He came to serve. Godly husbands seek to serve their wives. Ungodly husbands seek to be served by their wife. Bless me physically. Take care of the home. Make my wills. Serve me. I'm entitled this service. No. Your call is to serve, not to be served. And think, if you're the head of your wife, as Christ is the head of the church, how is Christ the head of the church? How's he described? He said, come to me. I'm gentle. I'm lowly in heart. My yoke is easy, my burden's light. So loving your spouse as Christ loved the church is being gentle. It's being kind. If his burden's light and his yoke is easy, you shouldn't be hard to be married to. And one of the primary reasons marriages struggle is the harshness of husbands. And there's a scripture that directly addresses it. Wives, husbands, don't be harsh with your wives. The Gottman research at the University of Washington, one of the number one predictors of divorce is what he calls a harsh startup. Husbands that get criticized and then come out hot. Husbands that get upset because their wives did or didn't do something that come out hot. That is one of the number one predictors of divorce. So my prayer for all of us as husbands, as Philippians says, let your gentleness be evident to all. The opposite of loving like Jesus is just doing whatever you want to do. I didn't get it when I got married. I didn't. I thought we're crazy about each other. We got this special thing. It's just going to work out. It's going to be great. So we got married, and what did I do? Whatever I wanted to do. I joined a basketball league, a bowling league. I joined a softball league. I built a law practice. I did not prioritize Marilyn. Marilyn wanted me to give to her. So Marilyn's complaining that I'm not making her feel special. I'm complaining that she's complaining. Like, if you weren't so hypersensitive and needy, we'd be all right. But we were both off. Because bad marriage is easy. Just do whatever you want to do. And watch what happens. Husband, your wives will be like mine, and she'll pray, Lord, am I sentenced to a life of this? And she'll be as miserable as Marilyn was miserable. Because the beauty of marriage is it calls us to change. Marriage calls us to be more like Christ. Every decision is a decision to pick your interest or her interest. When I was single and came home from work, I could do pretty much what I wanted to do, and it wasn't selfish. Now, if I just walk in the den, turn on ESPN, watch it for an hour and a half, it's selfish. What changed? I went from single to being married. And like wives make their husband better men, husbands make their wives better women. Listen to Ephesians 5:26, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. Our wives should be more godly, more encouraged, feel more loved, and feel more delighted in because she's married to us. We should be a source of encouragement, love, and adoration, not a source of frustration and discouragement. She should be more empowered and holy because she is married to you. Being married to you basically creates a greenhouse of spiritual growth. You're pointing out God's grace in her. You're telling her how beautiful it is. You're telling what she can be. You're pointing out the impact she's having. And she every day has more energy and more passion for Jesus because she's under good spiritual leadership. I love what John Piper said. John Piper said, good leadership is using the word let's a lot. Let's go to church. Let's go on a date. Let's sit down and talk. Let's prioritize our marriage. Let's read a book together. So as husband, think the word let's. And this is how it works. The husband makes the wife better. The wife makes her husband better. They both have a bigger gospel impact because of one another. And to husbands, spiritual leadership. What's that mean? Leadership is taking responsibility. It doesn't mean it's all your fault. In most every instance I come in and hear crisis counseling, there's plenty of fault to go around. But what do good leaders do? They take responsibility for the problem and they do something about it. It's not, well, it's her fault we did that. No, it's my responsibility to do something about it. So I did civil litigation for 22 years. So say I'm handling your case and I miss a statute of limitation. I mess up your case and you come to me upset. I said, well, I'm a good lawyer. Some people on my team aren't so good. Sorry. You'd say, he's a bad leader and a bad lawyer. A good leader and a good lawyer takes responsibility and he fixes it. And some say, Brad, you don't know my wife. If you knew my wife, you'd preach her a little differently. My guess is your wife's more impressive now than you were when God saved you. And he says, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Because the opposite of leadership is blame. The opposite of leadership is a husband that struggles with porn and blames his wife. That struggles with anger and says, well, the reason I get so angry is because she's such a nag. Or the reason I check out is because she's no fun to be around. Or the reason I don't date her is because she's boring. Husbands, take responsibility. Pursue your bride. Date your bride. Enjoy your bride. Pursue your bride. Bring her alive. I heard one pastor say, you can basically look at your wife and see how she's doing, and that'll tell you a lot how you are doing as a husband. In counseling, the poor leaders want to make sure that I know all the bad things about their wives. I can tell within 3 or 4 sessions if we're going to make progress, if the husband shifts to responsibility and working on being more godly and quit telling me what a bad wife he's married to. And probably the word that's most important, I'd say, is grace. All of you have fallen short of this. I've fallen short of this. I fall short of it daily. That's why Jesus came, and I'm under his grace. Scripture says, I'm under grace, not law. None of you are married to a perfect husband, and none of you are married to a perfect wife. You've all got good. You've all got bad about you. But by the grace of Jesus, we just choose to love one another. We choose to stay in our lane. I got plenty to work on to lay my life down for my wife as Christ does the church. Marilyn's got plenty to work on to submit and respect me. I'm not called to tell her to submit and respect me. And it doesn't help when she tells me, hey, you need to lead better. You need this better. You will fight all the time if you focus on the other spouse's call. Well, let's think about it. What if a husband wants a dog and a wife doesn't want a dog? Husband could say, okay, I want a dog. You're called to submit. I think a dog's best for our family, so we're getting a dog. Wife, well, time out. Time out on the floor. You're to lay your life down for me as Christ did the church, and laying down your desire for a dog falls quite a tad bit short of that. Guess what? They're going to fight about that dog deal. Why? Wife, you're an ungodly man. Husband, you're a controlling, non-submissive woman. How should it work? I call it reverse fighting. Wife should say, hey, you want a dog? Hey, doesn't violate my conscience, we'll get us a dog. And husband, no. You really don't want a dog. I don't care if I die without a dog. I'll be happy to lay that down for you. And that reverse fighting thing where you're fighting for each other's way, guess what? Doesn't get toxic. You're fighting for your own way, guess what? You play a ping pong match until you end up completely separated from one another. I love what Dr. Slattery said, that often what you decide is not important as how you come to the decision. Most of the time, both sides' arguments have legitimacy and merit, and either decision can work out fine. The calls to husbands and wives, they are different. He wouldn't have said wives, husbands, but there's a lot of similarities in it too. It is a call to humility. It's a call to live for Christ. And the good news to you too is, you know, somebody's like, this is heavy. Sounds miserable. No. Scripture says in Matthew 10:39, whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will gain eternal life. Jesus came that would have life and life to the full. I am a bajillion times happier now, more joyful now than I was when I was doing my own thing. I can't tell you the significance and purpose that Christ brings, what it does to your own joy. And we're in a world, what does it tell you? Pursue your own happiness. I was driving into Pennsylvania the other day, and this is a sign I saw. Welcome to Pennsylvania. Pursue your happiness. Now, I found one that said rough road on it because you pursue your own happiness. A lot of you know that's rough road. The irony is, the harder you pursue your own happiness, the rougher it gets. The harder you pursue laying down your life for others, the more joyful you are. Think about it. The happiest people you know, I bet, are the most servant-hearted and loving people you know. A BSF quote from my study last week said, humanity broke into 2 distinct camps, those who followed God and those who pursued their own way. Marriage, it's an opportunity to pursue Jesus. And in Pleasant Valley, we're blessed. We have a church that values marriage uniquely, uniquely. And the call to action, husbands, let's go back. Actually, the sign-up table's out front this time. Husbands, let's go out front, sign up for Pleasant Valley's enrichment platform, and let's work on our marriage together this year. Let's sign up for the date night event. Let's have fun together. Not just walk straight to your car and let this bounce right off of you. Jameis and Annie are in it. I'm in it. Josh is in it. Andy's in it. We ask you to join our leadership. All we ask for is 4 hours every 90 days, and it's about $45 every 90 days. Very low investment. And if you can't afford it, we'll scholarship you. So sign up. Now, before I close, I want you to know that this sermon's more about Jesus than marriage. It's the call to submit and surrender to Jesus. So I ask you, are you choosing your desires over the truth of God? Do you know deep down you're not right with God? Do you know deep down you haven't surrendered something to Jesus? I ask you to consider surrendering your desires to Christ today. I ask you to say, I'm going to drop this that's destructive and move to this Jesus Christ who is beautiful and redemptive. If you'd like help in your marriage, come forward. If you'd like to submit your life to Christ, come forward. If there's something in your life right now that you know is not right and you want to make it right, come forward. We'll have counselors in the front that are to come on down, and we would absolutely love to talk to you. Thank you for allowing me to serve here as your marriage pastor. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for dying for us, for saving us. We know we cannot submit to your truth on our own. It has to be you inclining our hearts. So we would ask that you incline the hearts of all of us towards you. Give us hearts that hate sin, hearts that love Jesus. Help us lay down anything that is hindering our intimacy with you and our spouse. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for checking out Sermons from Pleasant Valley Community Church. For more resources and to give financially to support the missions and ministries of Pleasant Valley, find us on social media or visit our website at www.pleasantvalley.cc.